Why don't we do this morning? Why don't we bow our heads and just calm ourselves, and let's just ask that our hearts would be open today for what God may want to do in you, in us as a church, in me. And Lord, we just ask you right now, we commit this sermon to you, this message. And Lord, I just pray that you give people hearts to receive the message today. I pray you give us ears to hear. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be at work in this room. You know where everyone's at in their journey of life. Meet each person where they're at as we move forward in our desire to get closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen. So right now at Journey Church, we're currently in this collection of talks. And our collection of talks is called Parable Church. And what we're doing in this collection is we're looking at three different parables, three different parables. You say, what is a parable? A parable is simply an earthly story that was told with a heavenly meaning. That's how we find Jesus often taught. He taught with parables and stories. And we're looking at three parables that we believe will help shape the desired culture of Journey Church. So you can look at these parables surely as an individual, but we're actually going even a couple steps further, and we're looking at these parables. What do they mean to us, not only individually, but what do they mean to us as a church? So what we did last week is we kicked off and we looked at the parable called the parable of the lost son, also known as the parable of the prodigal son. And our whole takeaway last week was really simple, and that is that we want to be a church that was like the father in the story. And the father in the story was a father who valued people. He valued his younger son. He valued his older son. So we want to be a church that has the heart of the father, and we want to be a church that values people, okay? So that falls right in line with one of our values here at Journey Church. And at Journey Church, we say this, every person has a name. So think of it, Lord, look around, everybody next to you, to your right, to your left, in front of you, behind you, every person has a name, okay? And hopefully you're learning more and more names. People love to be called by name. And here's the thing, every one of those names has a story. So meaning if you had the time and you got together with that person and you begin to share your story, you'd find out you both have highs, you both have lows, you both have challenges called life, you both have victories, but every name has a story. And that's what's so amazing about life. Everyone's here, but there was a story leading them to get here. And here's the cool thing. Every one of those stories matters. Every one of those stories matters to our great Father in heaven. And I want to say this. If every one of those stories matters, if every one of these, every one of us, every person matters to God, we as a church want to do our best that we want to make sure every person matters to us. So I just want you to think about that today. What would it look like if everybody that came in the doors of this church, that they knew that they mattered to us? One of the big lines of our vision is this, that every person is cared for. Could you imagine what a church would look like where every single person was cared for? And I want to say this super loud and clear. That doesn't mean they're cared for by the pastor. That means they're cared for by someone. Has everybody got that this morning? Yes, the pastor will do his best, but the pastor, he's flawed. He's broken just like all of us. He's not perfect. But what would it look like if we all took responsibility to be a church? We all stepped up. We all cared for one another. Maybe there's somebody specifically the Lord's laying on your heart to care for. I want to encourage you to care for those people. So that's what the first week was all about. We want to have the heart of the Father to care for people, to care for people. Now today I want to share a second parable, and the parable that we're going to look at today is taken from Matthew chapter 13. It's such a popular parable that it's found in actually three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we're going to look at it today from the book of Matthew. But before we read the parable, I want to say two things concerning church, because we're looking at what do these parables mean to us as a church. So I want to look at two things as a church, and that is, how many people know, and you don't need to respond, how many people realize that we're living in a world of hopelessness? And in the world of hopelessness, I want to let you know the church should be the hope of the world. In a world of hopelessness, the people should be able to come to a church where there's hope. Because how many people know hope has a name, and his name is what? All right. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Look what it says about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 42. And his name will be the, everybody, the hope of all the world. Jesus is the hope. The body of Christ, the church, should be a place of hope. Because I was just listening to something just yesterday morning, and I heard these two statistics about the world we're living in today, about our country. And that is that right now, half of our country claims or admits that they're struggling with some mental health problems. Think about that. 5 out of 10 people right now are admitting that they're struggling with mental health problems. Why? Because all the craziness that's going on in our world, all the uncertainty, all the news, all the things that are going on, people are struggling. They need hope. Amen? Look at this next statistic before we dive into the parable, and that is nearly 40 million Americans right now today are taking antidepressants. 40 million Americans today are taking something to help them to get through today. And I tell you what, I believe we as a church should be able to play a big, big part in what's happening in people's lives. My heart is that that people would come to Jesus. And I realize sometime that there's more to it than that, but I believe it's a great launching, a great start, okay? So that's the church, and we want to be a part of what God's doing. And I believe the second thing I want to say is I believe that Jesus wants the church to grow. I really believe that with all my heart, that Jesus wants his church to grow. Why? Not so we can pat each other on the back and feel good about, hey, look at what we've done. It's not about what we've done. This church isn't our church. Ultimately, it's his church. And we want this church to grow that so that more people can hear the message of hope that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. So when I say about growth, I'm not talking primarily about numbers, but more importantly, I'm talking about I would love to see people grow who are becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus, people that are experiencing transformation, authentic community. There are people filled with hope, and you don't keep the hope in this building, but you take the hope home. You take the hope to your workplace. You take the hope wherever you go. You can spread the news that Jesus can make a difference in people's life. So with all that being said, what I want to do today is I want to look at this parable from Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to have a couple people come, and they're going to read the story to us this morning. So first of all, let's do this. Can we stand for the reading of God just to change positions? And Heather will be our first reader today.
The parable of the farmer scattering seed. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the forms of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his fields, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.
Okay, I wanted to change readers because I want you to know that there's a big change now, a shift in the text. And the big shift in the text is now those first 9 verses, Jesus was talking to the crowds. So we don't know how big the crowds were. I'm sure they were hundreds, thousands. And now Nolan's going to come and he's going to read the interpretation of the parable. And now we find Jesus is not with the crowds. Where is Jesus now? He's with the 12. Those that were his disciples. And he's explaining now the story he told to the crowd. So Nolan's going to read that part for us. So listen carefully.
Verses 18 through 23. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted.
All right, what a story. You may be seated. Just by raise of hand, how many people have heard that parable before, that story? A lot of us have heard that before, of course. I've read it quite a few times, and I've shared it quite a few times. And each time before this, I've shared this story from the perspective of what does it mean to us as individuals? What does it mean to you, to me, to us individually? But today what I want to do is I want to take a totally different approach. And I want to direct our focus today on what we as a church, because we're talking about parable church, what we as a church can learn as a body of believers, as a group of people that I believe that will impact this culture of this church. And when this culture is impacted, it will touch people who come into our church in the future, okay? So allow me to share that there's basically, I want to share with you some observations from the text. And in the parable, there's three key components. The first component, we see that there was a sower. The sower, that's simple. Usually, the sower is the one who distributes the seed, okay? They distribute the seed. And in most of our context, the context of the church, we would immediately identify the sower as probably the pastor, the Bible teacher, the preacher, whatever the case may be. But the truth is, and listen carefully to the truth, the truth is, the sowing of the seed is God's assignment for everyone who belongs to the kingdom of God, okay? So we're not just sowing seed on Sunday morning, we're sowing seed on Monday night, Tuesday morning. And it's not just certain people who have credentials, because credentials aren't that impressive. What's impressive is when we all get together and we all do this together, and we all see ourselves as a sower of the seed. So I want to let you know this morning, you're sitting next to somebody really important. You're sitting next to a sower. So say, good job, you're a sower, okay? Let's look at the second key component to the story is we call it the seed. I think we all understand the seed simply is the word of God. It's the truth of God's word. And by the way, it doesn't have to come through the form of a sermon. It can come through the form of a word of encouragement that's biblically based. It can come through speaking words of life and victory to other people. So the seed. So you guys, we're all the sowers, and we all have this common seed. It's called the word of God. It's called the truth of God's word. And we're people that's what our lives are really all about. We just happen to work jobs different places to earn a living, but primarily as a follower of Jesus, wherever God has called you is exactly where you need to be. And I tell you what, your job is to sow the seed. Let people know the truth, because the truth will set them free and give them hope. And then the third key component is what we call the soil. The soil, okay? And what is the soil? I think we would all agree the soil is what? The condition of people's hearts. The condition of people's hearts. And the crazy thing in this parable, we see that there's four different types of hearts. There's four different types of hearts that are going to receive the seed that is sown. So I want to look at these four different types. We see number one, we see what is called the footpath. The footpath. This is very, very hard ground. And that day it would have been like a field that was walked on constantly, where it became so hard, it became like cement today. And these are the people that hear the word of God. They hear the word, but they don't understand. They don't perceive. They don't get it, okay? So what happens when this happens, the evil one comes, the devil, And he comes and what he does is he snatches away that seed immediately. Before that seed can get into the soil, the enemy comes and he steals away the seed. That's group number one. That's the first type of hard soil. Second type of soil is what we call rocky soil. And the seeds in this story made their way into the soil. They made their way into the soil. The plants were beginning to sprout up quickly, and there was what we could call a very hopeful beginning. But there's a problem. Because of the rocks, they choked out the seed. They choked out the plant and kept it from growing, and the sun began to scorch, the hot sun began to scorch and withered away, and the plant died. So there was the rocky soil. And what stopped the growth? Two things. There was problems and persecution. Problems will keep people from being good soil. They'll look more at our problems than they will at the seed that is being sown. We'll focus more on the problems, and that can take away from the seed falling upon good soil. The problems and persecution begin to dominate the life of this person, the heart of this person. So the seed that was sown starts growing, but withers away quickly. Then there's the third one. I think this is huge to our culture in America today, and that is what we call the thorns. And we see that this plant began to grow, it began to mature to full size, but here's the deal, gang, there was no fruitfulness. And how many people know that's what God's concerned about is fruitfulness, okay, and growth. And why was there no growth and fruitfulness is because he says there's two things. He says the worries of life. Just think of that in today's culture. There's too many worries in our life. And these worries begin to dominate. And these worries prevent the future growth of the seed. The second one, he says, beyond the worries of life, he calls it the lure of wealth. We're so concerned about gaining more wealth. We're more concerned about being comfortable financially. And he says, hey, that can kill that seed that began to spring forward. And it's a very, very sad place. And then what we see there's the good soil. And this is the seed did its thing. It was just good soil. And the seed grew, and it did exactly what God wanted it to do. It produced. It produced a crop of fruitfulness. It says 30, 60, 100-fold. That was the same seed that happened to fall on a different type of soil. Same seed on a different type of soil. So one of the things I want us to see and understand from this parable is that the condition of the soil is super duper important. The condition of the soil varies from person to person. I mean, meaning in this room today, this room right here, or people watching online, there are four different types of soil. There's four different types of heart, meaning that people are going to respond to this message today in four different ways. The message of God's word, the message of God's truth, and it's all about the condition of the soil. And I don't want to get into it too much individually, but I want to let you know that you and I have a personal responsibility. And the personal responsibility is that we need to make sure that we're doing the work daily to make sure that the soil of our hearts is good. And I want to let you know that's the responsibility of each and every one of us. It's your responsibility to take care of your soil. So when you hear the truth of God's word, you're ready to receive it. And the sad thing is, there's people who can come into church week after week, and you hear a word, and it really doesn't make much of a difference. And is it the speaking ability? I don't think so. According to this verse, I think the biggest thing is the condition of our soil. Is our hearts ready to receive the word of God? So we have a big responsibility, okay? So with this in mind, I want to get away from looking at us as individuals, and I want to look at us as a church that meets, two or three times a week, okay? two or three times a week. So what is our responsibility as a church? I want to share with you that I believe that we as a church, when it comes to this parable, that we have two responsibilities. So is everybody listening? Look at your neighbor and say, let's go. We're almost there. Every one of us, I want to let you know we're a responsibility. We as a church are a responsibility that we must sow the seed. We must. Let's all say that together. We must sow the seed. Every time the doors of Journey Church open, the seed must be sown. If you're a Wednesday night teacher, you have a responsibility, and that is the seed must be sown. When we come in here for a Bible study, the seed must be sown. Sunday morning, the responsibility is the seed must be sown. That's just our basic responsibility that we must sow the seed. So I think that's simple, okay? Here's the one you may not have ever thought about, and I want to camp out on just for a few minutes, and that is that we must do all that we can do as a church, and you are a part of the church, as individuals that are part of something bigger called the local church, we must do everything that we can as a church to prepare the soil. Okay? And I know some people are like, ooh, what are you talking about, prepare the soil? We need to do everything possible to prepare a soil. Allow me to explain. In my yard, there's a big dirt spot, okay? A big dirt spot. Somebody came and did some work this year, and now my job is to plant the grass, so it kind of looks decent anyway, okay? But how many people know for me to do there, to make the grass grow, there's some things I need to do. Correct or no? Okay, you're not excited about it. Correct or not, okay? If I want to ensure the best results, there's some things that I need to do. For example, in my yard, there's a lot of rock. There's a lot of rocks that come in different sizes. And one of the things I need to do is I need to go handpick those rocks and I need to dispose of them, okay? That's one thing I need to do, okay? I may need to pull some weeds before I plant the seed of the grass. I may need to just get on my hands and knees and pull the weeds. I may need to get a rake or a rototiller, and I may need to turn over the soil, okay? And then even after the seed has been sown, there's times that I got to get out, if it doesn't rain, I need to be responsible to get out the hose, and I need to water the seed. Okay? And there's sometime, if I'm really radical about it, I may need to do some fertilization. That doesn't happen at our house, by the way. Just get it done, okay? But I want you to see that if this seed has a chance to reach its full potential, there needs to be some involvement on my part. On my part, there's some things, there's some what we could call sweat equity to prepare the soil for the seed. And I want to let you know the same thing is true about Journey Church, And that is that there's going to be this process of preparing the soil to ensure that there's the best possible results. So when it comes time to sow the seed, we have done the work in advance. So when the seed is sown, there's a part that we're going to play so we can see the ultimate results. So the question is here, as we put a caboose on this today, is this. What can we as a church do in order to prepare the soil? Mike, what are some of the things that we can engage in so when a first-time person comes in here and they hear the word, this might prepare them more than they were when they stepped out of their car? They're more prepared now because there's some simple little things that you and I did that could have softened their hearts just a little bit. Because I tell you what, there's a lot of people pulling up on church parking lots, walking in church doors across the world, and a lot of people are walking into churches, and they're walking in stressed out with anxiety, with worry. And sometimes people are even thinking, this might be the last time I'm going to come to church. I'm going to see if they can make it happen. I'm going to give them one last chance. We never know that this could be somebody's first Sunday. We never know who God may bring our way. We never know where they are in their journey of faith. So I think there's some basic things that Journey Church must get right that are going to be totally free. Totally free, no price tag included, that's going to make this possible. So let me just share some things that we can do, all of us. And I'm not just talking about certain people. I'm saying, can we all do these things? Number one, one way we can prepare the soil is by serving other people. How many people have ever been served individually by somebody and it just began to open your heart towards them? Somebody did something super generous. They served you. They did something just over the top. And because of it, now your heart was more open towards them. I think at Journey Church, we need to be a church that's serving other people. So when the time of the word comes, you know what? Their heart now maybe begin to crack open just a little. Maybe we begin to remove some rocks. Maybe we begin to remove some of the weeds. And that's what I think we did this last Wednesday night. We served our community. And I thought it was so cool because there were people in our community I didn't think were going to show up, and they did. Oh, me of little faith. But they showed up, and I could just tell by them being served a free meal, by them being loved on by people, you could tell that there was just some softening of some hearts. And how many people know there might be a day, there may be a day when they come in because their heart began to be more prepared for the seed. Folks, we all have a part to play. Do you agree or no? We all have a part to play. It's so simple. Serving other people. Why? Because the world is not about serving other people. The world is about serving ourselves. And what happens when there's a group of people that will begin to serve as Jesus served and begin to serve other people in their real felt needs? Here's another one. You can serve a lot of different ways. Wherever you see a need, I would encourage you to step up and serve. Here's another way we can prepare the soil, and this is for every one of us, every one of us, and that is by being warm and inviting. Let's say those two words together, warm and inviting. You don't know what was going on in somebody's heart when they got out of the car today. They may have had the worst week. And they didn't even want to be here. But what would happen when they got here that there was a group of people that they were warm and they were inviting? You never know what happens in somebody's heart when they're met with warmth and met with people that are inviting and opening their arms. You never know what begins maybe their heart was the hard soil. Now it's moving. It's beginning to be tilled up. Weeds are beginning to be pulled. Folks, we're underestimating as a church the part that we play in somebody else's heart, okay? Maybe it's by, and we're all going to practice this one together right now, maybe it's by smiling a lot. So everybody, I want to see your dental work right now. Everybody smile right now. Look at your neighbor and give them a big smile. Come on, you guys, smile. I need to see your teeth in the darkness. I need to see these pearly whites. How many people know a smile will go a long way? Have you ever met somebody that's grumpy? Don't look at your neighbor. You just looked, oh, I hear you. Have you ever met somebody grumpy? It's just not, you're not open, you close down. But have you ever met somebody that just seems to be contagious? And smiling. I was watching the Ryder Cup this week, and that one golfer for the Europeans who's always smiling. And I'm like, something's going on with that guy that I need to know about. He's having a good, it's contagious. You know what I'm talking about? What would it look like if people came into this church to a church that was smiling? So everybody, one more time, give your best smile. Fake it until you make it, okay? Smile, everyone. Remember Mr. York on Fantasy Island? The plane would land, and he would tell all the workers, what would he say? You can tell the older generation here. And the younger generation's like, I have no understanding here. He would say, smiles, smiles, everybody smile. Why? Because he understood when those people got off that plane, if the first thing they saw was smiles, it would be so much better than welcome. It's great to have you. That's not very convincing. But if we would begin to smile. And I want us to be a smiling church because we have a lot to smile about. Amen? Here's another one. This is underestimated. We could be a listening church. Ooh, listening. Listening to what other people say. When you say, how are you doing? You're actually not just hearing, you're what? You're listening. How many people are horrible listeners? I'm at the front of the wagon. I'm always looking over their heads, what else is going on? Listening, listening. That's important. Here's another easy one, is by learning someone's name. I don't know about you, but I have a list on my phone, and all I do on that list on my phone is I put down people's names. Put down people's names. Every day, almost every day this summer, there was a father and a daughter that would walk down this sidewalk in front of Journey Church. And I said to myself, I got to learn their names. So I finally stopped him one morning. I said, hey, my name's Mike. What's your name? And his name is... Well, I got to look to my phone. So what is his name, Heather? Help me. She's like, I have no clue. But this is what happens all the time. I go to my phone, and it's Walter. That's Walter. Hey, and sometimes I open up the phone, right, like 100 yards out. That's Walter. And his daughter is Danielle. And they walk this sidewalk about 5 or 6 days a week, and it's so nice when you can say, hey, Walter. And then look at his daughter in the eye and say, hey, Danielle, how are you today? How many people know that can open the seed in the soil? That can affect the soil of somebody's heart. A name. A name. Instead of, hey, buddy. That's a cop-out. Hey, yeah, whatever. So right now what I want you to do is I want you to look at your neighbor and say their name. Okay, everybody, 1, 2, 3. Greg, that was easy for you, okay? I hope so. Travis, it's good to see you, brother. Okay. A name. Something about being called by name, you step up and you're like, wow, they know my name. I can't tell you how many people I met for the first time, then the second time they called me by name, and I was like, wow, that's incredible. Listening, caring. Caring is some of the things we need to do. But here's the deal. There are just some simple things that we can do, all of us working together. There's simple things that we can do to prepare the soil. So when people come in here, now they hear the word, their hearts are going to be more prepared now because when they came in, they had a good encounter. They had a good experience. Or somebody cared enough to call them on the phone later that week. We need to be a church that we need to be getting our hands dirty, even our finger dirt under our fingernails, and saying, hey, we're going to do what we can. So when the seed is sown, we did our part to prepare the soil. And the biggest one, I believe, is we need to pray. One of the greatest ways that we can prepare the soil of this church is by being a praying church, saying, Lord, when people come, may they be open because they sense your presence. May they sense your presence. So that's my message today, and here's my closing question for you. Are we willing to do whatever it takes that we're soil-preparing people? What can you as an individual do that when we put it all together, we're going to do so much more together? How many people know it's not just one, but when you multiply, how many people know two can do more than two individuals together can do more than two individuals separate? But when they do it together, when everybody's working together, amazing things can happen. So So here's what I want to do. I want to pray, and I want to pray for us as a church that this would be a church where the soil is rich, where the soil is ready for the seed to be sown, so that when people hear the word, they're like, wow, I get it. I see it. I feel it. I understand it. So can we pray for that together? So everyone, let's stand to our feet this morning. Are you glad you came to church? Thank you, Veronica. Is there anyone else? Are you glad you came to church?
Yeah.
My sheep know my voice, right? How many people are happy you're here this morning? I want us to be a church that we got to just push beyond comfort. I know we get comfortable. I get comfortable. I love being comfortable. But if we're going to be effective, there's sometimes you just got to turn the knob just a little more, tweak it just a little more, give a little more, do a little more. And all of our little mores together makes a big difference. And not only for us, but for other people that need to hear the message of what? Hope. Need to hear the message of Jesus. So Father, we come before you today. We pray that we would be a church that are full of farmers. We're farmers here, Lord. We're preparing the soil so that when people come in, their hearts can be, Lord, brought to a different place. So when the seed is sown, Lord, that they're ready to receive. So, Lord, I pray your blessing on this house. I pray, God, that we'll all stretch ourselves. Lord, all stretch ourselves to go beyond our comfort zones, to go beyond what's normal, to go beyond what our personality may. That's not my personality. Well, we can change things about our personality and be growing. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us. And Lord, I pray that this would be a church that we want to prepare the soil for one reason, because people matter to you. And we have a responsibility. Can we do our part, God, to say we want those people to encounter you, the one who is the hope of the world. And Father, we pray these things together in the name of Jesus. And everyone together said, amen.